One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is the story of Elijah. And I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." That's pretty clear, isn't it? He says, make a choice. And the next five words in this verse may be among the saddest in the Bible. They are these: "But the people said nothing." They're confronted with the most important question of all, and the people said nothing. They choose to sit on the proverbial fence. Someone suggested that maybe they were just hedging their bets because they just wanted to keep all their options open. You know, I've known people like that. Have you known people like that? There must be many ways to God, so I'm going to just enjoy them all. That way, surely I'll get to heaven. Now, I cannot imagine that there's anyone in this room today who is sitting on the fence when it comes to this question of following God. The choice of whether or not to follow God is a matter of life and death. It is the central question of the universe. But you may not have made that choice. And if so, I ask you, how long will you waver? How long will you waver? Someone else said that these priests of Baal might not have made a choice that day because it wasn't very convenient. You see, in order to choose God, they would have to go down to Jerusalem to a worship service. They would have to travel over dangerous roads without cars. And it was much more convenient to stay in northern Israel because there was this shrine already there for Baal. Why travel? Now, I cannot imagine that there is anyone in this room here today who would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a matter of convenience. But I can imagine that there are some people in this room today who may decide where and when to worship God based on convenience. Because, let's face it, most of us are spoiled. That could be the sermon right there, but I'll keep going. Back to Elijah. Elijah said, make a choice. Some people do not like to make choices about anything in life, and our culture does not make it all that much easier for them because our culture throws so many options at us. Some of you guys may identify with the story I'm about to tell you, and I am slightly embarrassed to share it. There was a time in my life, on many mornings of my life, when I could not decide what tie to wear. And so I would pick out four or five ties and a coat, and I would find Elizabeth, and I would say to her, "Honey, which tie should I wear?" And I would hold up this tie, and then I would hold up that tie, and she would just wait very patiently without interrupting me. And eventually she would decisively say, "That one." And then she would turn around and walk away and finally get about her business. Now, let's don't talk about how many times the wives have turned to the husbands and said, "Which dress should I wear tonight?" Sometimes we can be unsure of the decisions we have to make in life. We can be insecure. We can be indecisive. And we'd love to have a consultant nearby who can give us some expert advice on things. But there are some things that only I can decide for myself. And one of those is whether or not I will follow the Lord or follow Baal. And you're no different. I read about a guy who went to Starbucks. And while he was standing in line, he overheard the man in front of him order his coffee. And this is what he ordered: "I would like a decaf grande sugar-free vanilla non-flat latte with extra foam and the milk heated to 140 degrees. That was the first time that this guy had ever been in a line at Starbucks where he heard someone order the milk at a certain temperature. And he became frantic. What am I supposed to do? So many choices, and now there's one more. He was like a slave to the many choices that he had before him. Do you ever feel like that? That made me think of this. I like to shop. I know, I'm weird. Elizabeth does not like to shop. I know, she's weird. And when it's time to buy something, any kind of a widget for the home, I like to research my options. So I turn to the internet, where the options are infinite, limitless options. And I see something that looks good, and so I print it out, and I put the paper on my desk, and then I keep looking, and I find something else that looks good. I like that, I print it out. Pretty soon my desk is filled with papers. I have more options than I know what to do with. I'm totally confused. It takes four times longer to make a decision over all of these options. Whereas Elizabeth will walk into the store and see it and buy it and be done with it. I don't know how she does it. Not me. I need choices. Can having many choices be one of my bales? One of my idols? Elijah boiled it down to just two choices, Jehovah God or Baal. Now, I believe you know this. Baal was not just one god. Baal, which is more properly pronounced Baal, Baal, Baal was a title for many gods over many centuries. And the word Baal literally means owner or master or lord. Now, Baal was most often thought of by the people as being the god of weather, lightning and wind, but especially of rain. And they need rain in the Holy Land. They're very, very anxious about having enough rain in the Holy Land to grow their crops, and not just in Israel, of course, in various parts of that part of the world. It's important for them to be able to grow their crops and be able to have food. And so they considered Baal, the god of weather, to be their provider. And that made me think about this. What do I believe I need in my life to survive? And I started making a mental list of those things, and I'm going to share some of them with you. I need food to survive. Where do I go for my food? That's simple. I go to Wegmans. Wegmans is my first choice for food. I have often joked that when I see even the architecture of Wegmans, it looks like a steeple on top of the building. And I pass it and I joke. So I'm embarrassed to even tell you this too. I say to some people, that's my second place of worship right there is Wegmans. I love Wegmans. Could Wegmans be my bail? Another thing that I need is money. I don't know about you, but I have bills to pay. I have needs. But I also have some wants. Yes, I actually want things. I love my iPad. I love my adjustable bed that vibrates and puts me to sleep. I love air conditioning more than I love heat. My Kia Sorento is a good ride. Oh, yes, I really need the optional package that goes with the Sorento that gives me the GPS and the satellite rate. Doesn't everyone need those things? It all costs money. Could money be my bail? Here's another one I thought of. I need comfort. It's not just air conditioning that I love, but also my swivel rocker recliner with this wonderful velvety touch to it. I need that. Or is it the 3 and 4 star hotels that I want to stay in? Or is it flying business class rather than coach? Could comfort be my bail? My list is much longer than that, and it's probably longer than yours. But you get the point. Whatever I consider to be a need in my life can easily become an idol in my life. And I can easily place that idol on the throne. Multiple idols on the throne. Elijah could turn to me and he could say, "Harry, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Make your choices. Quit asking others what color tie to wear." Have you ever received an invitation that had an RSVP on it? I'm sure you have. Have you ever had a hard time deciding what you were going to do with that RSVP? Did you ever think, "Oh, that might be fun." Or, "Oh, that could be a bust." Or did you ever ponder, even for a moment, "I wonder if I wait a while, if something better might come along." Wavering between two opinions. Come on, decide, and then commit. There is a difference, you know. A boy asked his father this question. He said, "Dad, if 3 frogs were on a limb out over a pool of water, and 1 frog were to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left on that limb?" And his father said, 2. And his son said, "No, Dad, that's not right. If 3 frogs were sitting on a limb above a pool of water, and 1 of them decided to jump into the water, how many frogs would there be left on the limb?" And his dad thought about it. He says, "Oh, I get it. If 1 of them jumps in, all of them will jump in, so there's no frogs left on the limb." "No, Dad, that's not right. There would be 3 frogs left on the limb. Because 1 of them only decided to jump. He did not commit." Making a choice may not always be enough. We need to commit and step up. Otherwise, we can just live life on the limb of do-nothings. You know where this is going. My challenge to me, and my challenge for us, is to make sure that we are not impotent and paralyzed when it comes to the most important choice in life, and that is whether or not to worship God or to worship Baal. I think one of the reasons that the priest of Baal may not have responded to Elijah on Mount Carmel is that many of them were afraid of what other people might think of them. We're all guilty of that sometimes, you know. Maybe we don't step up because we're afraid some people might think we're just too religious or too spiritual. It's easier just to hide our joy than it is to let it be known. Perhaps we decided not to give in the church offering plate because there's an election coming up and we don't know what's going to happen with the economy. And let's wait and see what happens with the economy, and then we'll decide whether or not to give or not. Make a choice. Don't fail to make a choice, because failing to make a choice is making a choice. And God sees each and every single one of them. God created us to commit. He committed to us. And he created us to commit to him. He also commanded us to commit to one another. And he commanded us to commit to his agenda. Sometimes, when we are confronted by a choice, we say, "Let me pray about that." Well, you know what? I think when people say that, sometimes it's just a means of procrastinating, or it's a means of just, "Let me get out of this conversation and go somewhere else and do something else." There may come some awful time in your life when you wished that you had not procrastinated, that you had stepped up and you had made a commitment to the agenda of God, but now it's too late. This is Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verse 19, God said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Please tell me that you've made that choice. Billy Graham said something about that verse. This is what he said. The strongest principle of life and blessings lies in our choice. Our life is the sum result of all the choices we make, both consciously and subconsciously. So start with what is right rather than what is just acceptable. I have no doubt that there are things in your life, as there are things in mine, that need to be corrected. We have to make choices, and we have to correct them sometimes, and God is watching. Do you remember the story of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, breaking the alabaster box, and with her tears and the perfume, washing his feet, while Martha worked in the kitchen? And Jesus said in Luke 10, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And how could we not mention those immortal words of Joshua? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Brothers and sisters, if you do not make a decision on that, then time will make that decision for you, and time will side against you. You need to be like Peter, who got out of the boat. That was a choice. Now, if we choose to follow Christ, and if we choose to follow His agenda, then what? In 1836, the Republic of Texas declared independence from the Republic of Mexico. Were any of you there in 1836? Oh, okay. The people of Texas overwhelmingly wanted to join the United States of America. But there was a painful national debate going on. You see, the evil of slavery was the hot topic, the hot debate, the dividing issue of the people of the United States of America at that time. And Texas was the largest slaveholding region of all. That national debate and a threat of war with Mexico continued for 9 more years. And finally, on December the 29th in 1845, Texas finally made a choice and became the 26th state of the United States of America. On that occasion, a man by the name of James Lowell wrote a poem to capture the situation. It was eventually embraced by the Christian community, and it was set to music. And it begins this way. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side. Some great cause, some great decision, offering each the bloom or blight. And the choice goes by forever twixt that darkness and that light. Those words are as timely today as they were 174 years ago. If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we will not be guilty of sitting on the sidelines, but be proactive in choosing good over evil. And in doing so, Lord, may you be pleased with us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.